Big time count. What B movie will be the ultimate champion? You might think they're crazy, might think they're diseases. But they watch all the shot to find the best of the beast. It's Stan, Jim, Jack, and Nick who watch till it's finished. But their love for these movies can be diminished. And maybe the film's plot has no rhyme or reason. But that's part of the charm, Owen Brad's of the season. The low budget film that it is most true. They find in the flick that's most boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boo boo, Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boo boo, Electric Boogaloo.
They were born under a bad sign. They are Son of Boogaloo! Welcome to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo Season 6. Oh yes, I am your host, 8th Dan, Stan Adu, and this is Son of Boogaloo! And this time we are talking about Son of Kong! Wow, it's amazing how this starts out. Alright, I am joined by the usual suspects. I got Jim Kata.
Stan. Did you ever catch a monkey?
Did I ever catch a monkey? Oh no, but I've wanted to. I'd love a good little monkey.
I'm happy to be back for the sequel of our last podcast. Part two.
Part the duh. Alright, I can hear Nick Boxer. Nick.
Greetings and salutations. Best intro ever. Have you been moonlighting at monster truck rallies on us?
Oh, you know, I love me some monster trucks, too. Brave Digger! or what is it? Dino Mutt. Oh, yeah, some great ones. All right.
Dino Mutt? What the hell is that?
Maybe that. There's a lot of dogs.
That's a cartoon.
That's true. I like Dino Mutt, too. Okay.
I know. I'm just saying, what the hell does that have to do with monster trucks?
There's a lot of dog ones. I just combined them all into Dino Mutt.
All right. That sounds like a season right there.
Yeah. All right. Monsters. Speaking of monster trucks, we got Jack Hall.
What's up, Lugnuts? Let's go. Let's do this.
Okay.
I'm excited. I'm glad to be back. We've talked about doing sequels for a while.
Hey, we haven't, but since it's the first of a new season, I want to throw a little something out there. The Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, okay? Now that this is what, season 5?
We must be season six.
Season six.
Good Lord, we're in 6 seasons, and we got our listener base now established. And I was thinking we should give them a nickname. How about we call them the Boogers?
How about Boogaloosers?
All right. Anyway, Son of Kong.
All right.
The Kung Fools.
The Kung Fools is pretty damn good.
All right, Nick Boxer, tell us about Son of Kong, because you brought the son
yes.
to the Boogaloo.
Son of Kong. Carl Denton is trapped in New York, where after the events of King Kong, which happened just a couple months ago, just like in real life, this movie came out the same year as King Kong. So it wasn't a rush production at all. Now, it seems all of New York really doesn't like this guy because King Kong destroyed New York. So everybody's suing him. Everybody. Nobody, even the Jews in New York, according to this, really don't like him for some reason.
Wow.
The most hated man in New York City.
Exactly. I mean, casual racism aside, I mean, nobody wants anything to do with Carl Denning. So he's sort of forced to create a deal where he has to sneak out of New York in the middle of the night and join up with his old captain buddy who brought King to New York to ship stuff from island to island And he's lucky to have that option because, well, once again, nobody likes this guy anymore. Well, they're having a little bit of a tough time on the high seas trying to make a living. And they happen upon a little traveling show, which has perhaps the worst musical number ever in the history of cinema in it.
I think we have to throw it in. I think it's got to be thrown into the show. I think
people have
to experience Runaway Blues to understand it.
Oh,
man. You're going to have to get it.
I'll get it. We'll run a little long because I think it's 45 minutes, right?
Yeah, it's most of the movie. I'm more pissed that we didn't really see the seal act. That's
Yeah.
They took up. I'm so relieved the music number ended. I forgot there was a seal act advertised.
It's one of those ones where you stop and you're trying to imagine what the show was supposed to look like if you saw the whole thing, like you get the weird dancing monkeys and then you got this like really long act and then seals were the seals coming later? Did the seals actually open for the monkeys? That's we don't know.
Because I would have expected the monkeys to open for the seals.
Yeah.
Monkeys are always your headliner. Always.
Maybe we missed the seals. That's the problem.
But really, ultimately, it shouldn't have been her that was the headliner.
Wow.
So anyway, at the show, Carl Dunham sort of falls in love with this singer, or is at least attracted to her. They meet up with old buddy who supposedly sold the map to Kong Island. And this guy just sort of says, hey, buddies, so you went to Kong Island. Did you get the treasure? What treasure? You never mentioned a treasure before. So all of a sudden they decide, let's go back to Kong Island because that worked out so well the first time.
Wait. You are missing a key point here. That man that sold the map, that other guy, killed the father of the singer. What was her name? Hilda? Something like that?
Yeah, I was just going to mention, that guy was on his last legs. He was dead any time.
Nevertheless, he killed him.
We established he was a drunk.
The reason he's so dead and convinces them to leave, not thinking they would actually go to Kong Island, but he's looking for a ride and they're not going to leave. So he's looking for to get on the ship. It's because she threatens to go to the police, essentially, or whatever. So the magistrate or whatever it was. And of course, they both end up on the boat. But that's a key thing. Actually, it doesn't show up again in the movie, does it?
It doesn't affect anything.
It's not a key thing. And yet...
Well, it drives the plot.
Karma gets this guy because I believe he was... Yeah, he was eaten by a brontosaurus, actually, in the end. That appeared out of nowhere.
I don't know that it was a brontosaurus. He ran into the water and was killed by a water... dinosaur.
Yeah, water dinosaur, yeah.
I don't think it was a brontosaurus.
It's a different type of dinosaur.
Suddenly it sounds so much more Boogaloo.
I think they're like thoruses or something like that.
This movie is Boogaloo. We don't see a monster in this thing till 42 minutes in.
We see a monster before that, but that's the first time we see Kong.
Yeah.
King Kiko.
I made a note about that. I said that there's so much wasted time you think Peter Jackson made this.
This thing is only 60 minutes.
And imagine how quick they could have done it without the musical number. It would have been a short film.
5-minute movie.
What monster did we see before Kong?
The one that that chased them. Or whatever that he saves them from, don't we?
Kong is first because he's drowning. We see Baby Kong first.
You see Baby. 42 minutes in, you're right. Yeah.
Wasn't there a penis monster in this one?
No penis monster.
There is, but we see Baby Kong first. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a lot of stop motion lately, aren't we?
Man,
I mentioned that. All right, so Kate, you're right. Son of Kong is the first one. And they wouldn't right. see enormous CIA because they walk out and there he is, all 12 foot albino.
Okay, so you know they're going to Kong Island. We got the new girl on the ship. Carl Deming's all in love and stuff. They arrive on the island. Of course, the natives, once again, casual racism applies. Won't let them on the island.
1933, casual racism meant something totally different.
And to tell you the truth, in 1933, there still were some tribes that were somewhat like that, that were somewhat isolated still. And this is an isolated tribe. So I don't know. I would not call this casual racism. Now, I'm not saying there isn't casual racism in the Kong film.
Oh, no, we haven't even mentioned that. I would not consider this.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely, that's full on.
but anyway, since they're not allowed on the island, they have to circle around and we find the cheapest shooting location ever. where we can just sort of view into Kong Island. So, you know, we don't have to. It's a bunch of rocks that we have like a peek hole into Kong Island. So we can see all the monsters interact from a relative safety. And then Kong shows up and he's drowning and Carl Demons sort of goes, I feel guilty. We should help this thing out. And he helps it out. And then they're immediately attacked by a bear wolf creature.
Quicksand. He was in quicksand, right?
Yep. Yeah. Quicksand.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And you know, Kong is all thankful and stuff, but they're immediately attacked by a bear wolf thing. And there's a really good fight with the bear wolf thing. And Kong defeats him, but he's sort of injured. So the girl says, you know, we should help him out. And Carl Demon's like, what again? Twice in one day? So, you know, they bandage up little Kong's finger. And then they're almost immediately attacked by another lizard thing, which Kong defeats. And then, for no apparent reason, well, we stumble upon the treasure, and the island has an earthquake and sinks into the sea.
It's not. There is an apparent reason. They needed an end to the film.
that's as close as I could come up with. Yeah. Yeah. It's an earthquake that then causes a typhoon.
And they wanted to make sure that we got hurt, so they just.
It's one of those earthquake typhoons that you hear so much about.
Oh.
Where the ground starts rolling and then the wind comes in.
Before we get to the earthquake, Kong fights the bear thing, right?
Yep.
And he defeats.
It was just a bear. It was no
wolf. It looked like a big bear. Yeah.
I think it's a big bear, but it's a bear.
It's like a malt liquor.
Kong fights the bear. Yeah. He then takes a break and he tries to communicate for some reason with the humans. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think he was saying? Because, I mean, I don't think there's a reason for it. Because, I mean, the bear did get up and they fight again for a few minutes.
True. I think it seemed
desperately important that Kong had to communicate something in that scene.
Yeah, I think he's trying to say, is the movie long enough yet? Or should we fight some
I wonder what would the like ideal, because we know nowadays that the ideal length that you're kind of looking for is between that 80 to 95. I mean, that's really what we're looking for, but the movies back then would have been in that, oh man, we gotta get to at least what, 60 to 70?
King Kong itself, I believe, is 100 or 105 minutes.
Yeah, 105, I believe.
Yeah.
This is. I mean, we have that modifier because, you know, back in those days, the real B movies, that were actually, you know, the second tier movies that ran together, 70 minutes. Like, if you look at the Universal horror movies, they're between 70 and 80 minutes. Most of them. Some of them are even as low as 60. So yeah, like somewhere in that 70 to 80 ballpark. For most movies, but I mean this now would be 2 hours 20.
Oh yeah,
the same easy. Story in 2 hours 20.
That musical number
4 hours.
Woo! 4 hours 20 for Peter Jackson's extended cut of Son of Kong.
Yeah, the musical number is actually a concert.
You're like, well, it's a good adaptation of Son of Kong, but I thought that Peter Jackson used a little too much from the Silmarillion. to pat it out.
Nice reference.
Now there's a Boogaloo
deep,
movie.
Deep dive there. That's just me hating everything Peter Jackson did since Lord of the Rings. That's what it is.
Well, you know, I've come to realize now that Nick has done such a good job describing the entirety of the movie. We should just go to scoring.
Yeah, you're ready to go to scoring. I've marked off most of the things already. Let's take a brief moment to pause and talk about the casual racism of the film, though, before we close it. Because
this film hates everybody, man.
It does. It does. It doesn't. It doesn't. Charlie, the manservant, who is also in the original Kong, probably is treated the best out of almost any character.
Oh yeah. Oh, I love Charlie, man. Like that character. Wow.
And when they show us the musical number, Charlie's having the time of his life. Everyone else is stone faced in the audience, and Charlie's applauding. He's so happy. Like he's a joyful dude.
But here's what I love the most is that Charlie he's called Charlie. He's Charlie the whole thing. But in the credits, the actor that plays him is I can't remember his name, but whatever, as Chinese cook. Like he's not given the name. He's not given the name Charlie. Like everybody else is, you know, whatever Victor. As Carl Denham and this person. And then, and Helen Mack as Hilda. And then, what is his name ever, as Chinese cook.
And even who unfortunately did a few more movies and then never worked past World War II, strangely. His last movie was 1945, and he never worked, never did a film again.
What happened around the Great War that would have caused racism towards Asians?
Well, he did plenty during World War II. That's half, almost a third of his credits are.
They needed to make some propaganda films then.
He did play a lot of Japanese characters during that time. He goes back and forth between being Chinese man at the man at bridge and Japanese junior officer, Japanese commander, Chinese passenger.
Awesome.
It was a different time. there was one other little bit of Hilda's dad who meets an untimely end. Is hanging out with the guy who will later kill him. They're drinking their asses off. And she says, why do you hang around with that guy? Because they're here on this like island in the middle of nowhere in the South Pacific. And he says, well, he's a white man. I need someone to talk to.
That's true.
It's only fair, you know. Well, because he's the only guy that speaks English, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if she sings in English. Maybe that's why she can't connect with the audience.
That's it.
They're there for the monkey show.
But you know, it's the same thing. It's you know, in the original King Kong, it's more about women being like useless because Fay Wray's on the, you know, and Darrow characters on the ship with them, and as a woman, what? And then women are all right, I guess, as long as they don't get in the way. Things like that. Like, so it's just par for the course for the King Kong 1930s.
I thought that was a sailor thing, that if you have a woman on your boat, you're destined to sink.
Carl Denham is saying the same thing, and he's not a sailor. So
he's not, and that's held up in this movie where he becomes second in command and still isn't a sailor.
he actually, all he really does is just wander around the ship a lot and look stylish.
Really administrative, I think, is his tasks on the on the ship.
Well, yeah.
I do like that Carl gets the girl in this one.
That was really awkward, time.
Here's something that stuck in my head the entire time watching Carl have this love story with the young lady. He looks about twice her age, but the whole time I'm watching this, I'm like, in a different world, Jack Black is in this story. the sequel to the remake in Kong, where Jack Black gets the girl.
It doesn't help that he calls her kid.
Yeah.
That does not work yet.
she wasn't nearly as young as she happened to look there. So, you know.
What did you think of her? I mean, she's the female lead following Fay Wray, which is, you know, that's big shoes, if ever there were.
And given absolutely nothing to do.
Mm.
Well, you know what? I would say her character actually kind of has a little fight to her. whereas Ann Darrow character spent the whole movie just screaming and being completely a victim. So she has a little more fight to her in that way. So I like that.
I like the character, actually. I thought she was kind of amusing overall.
As their animal expert, because she did have a lot of lines like, oh, animals know when you're helping them.
I'm not sure that makes her a zoologist, but it is more than Fay Wray had to do in most of Kong.
Yeah, like she doesn't just sit there and be tied up and scream and lose her clothes. I mean, she doesn't have Fay Wray's qualities. The, you know, Ann Darrow character is iconic, and this one is that song is something. that's basically the way I can put it. But I mean, she's fine. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with nothing wrong with the cast. I mean, not having the Jack Driscoll character and the Ann Darrow character is strange, but. You know, I guess they were happy. They got married afterwards, right? They were happy. We just all assume. So,
you know, for what is obviously a movie padded out to use 9 minutes of footage at the very end, this is a strangely enjoyable film.
It's the thing that I really appreciated about this movie ultimately was I love the fact that they decided that they looked at it and said, well, what's going to be a problem? Hey, it's obviously going to be a problem that this guy brought Kong over. He destroyed New York. Yeah, he's going to be in trouble. Like these too many times these things happen in movies where it's just like, yeah, you destroyed New York City. And then in the sequel, it's just like, wow, I really fucked up that first time. Hey, I've got a great idea. I can fuck up again bigger.
Yeah. Like you, yeah, every once in a while, you can't think about the ending of movies too hard because you start thinking, like, there'd be a lot of consequences to having done this. Like,
I kind of doubt anyone pitched Man of Steel to the lawsuits.
I thought, well, that's how Batman vs. Superman starts, but other than that, that's the whole first act of Batman vs. Superman. What I will say about, so we get to the end and they've found the treasure that, and that's a whole other kettle of fish that he makes up a treasure to get away from the police, and then there happens to be a treasure where he said there would be one. the four survivors find the treasure, they're heading back, and they're like, and Denham says, you know, hey kid, it's all good, we're gonna split this four ways. And she says to Denham, maybe we can split it three ways, you know, if the two of us are a couple. And I'll be honest, I could never love a woman that was that bad at math.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. So you're going from half to a third. Brilliant.
Yeah, so
brilliant.
I was like, you could have less money. I never thought of that. But
it sure sounds sweet, though.
It does. It sounds romantic, but long term, I think.
Really
not. Doing her best. She had, I mean, King Kong was the first thing she wrote, and then she, you know, this, I mean, you know, she didn't, and she didn't, it's not like she got thrust upon it when other people couldn't complete the script and the original, and so she's doing her best.
She was just looking for a romantic line, and I think, and that's what that was. It was not a smart line, it was just a romantic line.
Anything else before we do scoring here?
I mean, there's tons, but
maybe we get it scoring. It was a really good summary this time, Nick.
Yeah,
it was very all right. Like, clearly you brought it for this movie.
Only took about 45 seconds less than the real movie. So.
How many times have you seen this movie though, Nick?
This is actually only the second time.
Oh wow, okay.
Well, it's funny. The you guys were making fun of me. I had never seen this movie. I believe I had heard of it, but honestly, I thought it was a Toho film. I'd heard the title and didn't realize it was a sequel to the original RKO. I thought it was one of the Toho films, which I'm not actually a fan of the Toho Kong stuff. So I had never connected anything, so I was this was a lot of fun to get into.
Well, it gave me an excuse to watch the original King Kong and Mighty Joe Young as well. So, I mean, I'm...
Isn't it funny? Watch this. You immediately want to watch Mighty Joe Young.
Well, if you've seen Mighty Joe Young, you do. Because, like, King Kong is probably... I mean, it's arguably the greatest film of all time. It's most certainly, almost for sure, the most influential or probably the greatest adventure film of all time. But Mighty Joe Young, in many ways, is equal. You know, also just an amazing film. And then you got this kind of in the middle. So it's, you do, if you watch the other ones, want to wash this out of your mouth.
You know, you guys kept telling me about how Mighty Joe Young is so awesome. And, you know, you've got to watch it. You got to watch it. I watched it, and I'll be honest, I thought Charlize Theron was okay. But other than that,
oh, good Lord.
I didn't see what you thought when you saw in it. I
let's
haven't
go to scoring.
Yeah, let's go to scoring. All right, well, welcome back to
season welcome back to the six, Octagon.
Season six, and welcome back to the Octagon. We keep track of all of our scores, and you can find those on WeTalkPodcast.com, the ongoing Octagon, which is this is movie number 49, if you can believe it. No, 41. 41. Whew. I couldn't. No wonder you didn't believe it.
Yeah, I did not believe that.
it wasn't right. That's why you didn't believe it. So, in our search for the ultimate B movie,
you got Hilda type math there going on.
Yeah, that's right. Hilda's math's worn off on me here.
But it wasn't very romantic.
Yeah. Less romantic, yeah.
To you.
It's, yeah, that's right. It's been 40 episodes, but it feels like 48.
Well, some of our early episodes went really long.
And some of them we didn't record. So
that's true. Yeah.
Really, I think the goal for this episode is just not to make it longer than the movie.
That should be our goal every episode. Yeah, yeah. I think that's solid every episode. In our search for the ultimate B movie, we rate each film in five categories, none of which are objective quality. The first category we call schlock appeal, and we start with Stan.
Well, I found this to be a not very schlocky movie overall. I found it to be a pretty decent movie. It was some good fun, short, engaging. Overall, going to give it a 4.
Wow, I sort of disagree with you. I know where you're going with this. I mean, this is a cash grab, number one. It has the Kong name attached to... what could never even compare. So I'm going to go as high as a 6.
Okay. So yeah, it was a 6-month production period because Kong came out in March 23rd, 1933. And this came out December 22nd. So 9 months afterwards, the production and it had half the money and it had half the production, only 6 months production time. The original Kong was a $675,000 budget. And most films around the time were about $500,000. This was about 350. So it's definitely pushed out. But does that make it enjoyable? Does that make it schlocky? I kind of enjoy the film because I still enjoy seeing that stop motion. And I think the end sequence is fantastic. But if you throw away the logic, but I cannot sit there and it doesn't have the schlock feel of movies like, you know, Dracula versus Frankenstein. Like, it doesn't have that sheen of schlock to it. It's a film that's a good film, in the fact that it's not it's a hurried production, but it's not a true sleazy schlocky film. So
I don't know. Earthquake Island sinking in the last 3 minutes of the film is kind of a
well, yeah, but that's
a schlocky move.
That's a different, to me, that falls under different categories here. And this category, I don't think it scores very high. In this category, I was only going to give it a 3. But after talking and realizing some of the Boogaloo elements, I will pop it back up to what Stan gave it and give it a 4.
All right. Well, you know, I like when we've all kind of dialed in, that we've all come to to agreement. 8 is what I'm getting. I think that not only is there's the rush through, but we are 2/3 of the way through this movie before they even make it to the damn island. These people are thrown together in the most ludicrous ways. And then I think even just the Son of, like, I mean, we called this season Son of Boogaloo because Son of has become the phrase that you use for the cheesy sequel. That's the joke title for the sequel of anything. So 8 is what I'm going for this schlockfest. Next category.
Actually, I'm just thinking, I think this film and Son of Frankenstein are the only two movies that I can think of that use the Son of title.
Yeah, there's no Son of Die Hard.
That's too bad.
Yeah, oh. No, it is a missed opportunity. Yeah. Yeah, Son of Nightmare on Elm Street.
There's lots of Son ofs, but back in the day, I think is what Nick was referring to.
All right, our next category we call More Heart Than Budget.
Well, given the amount of budget, the amount that it was rushed, and the fact that, you know, Nick is basically suggesting it was a cash grab, I don't know that much about this movie, but it sure sounds like it doesn't have more heart than budget. I mean, make no doubt, though, the Son of Kong was awfully cute and awfully heart-wrenching when he died and stuff like that, but I'm still just going to go with a 4.
Yeah, I have trouble with this one because this movie is saccharine sweet at times. And I'm having trouble sort of differentiating it's a sweet film, but did it have heart behind it, or was it just sort of a, I don't know. I'm going to split the difference, 5.
Yeah, see, to me, it's a movie that we know it's rushed, and we know the budget is cut, and because it's rushed, because it's done so quickly. But do the people involved give it their best? Hell yes, they do. Under those circumstances, they absolutely do. I give it an 8.
Nice. I'm also going to go with a 5, but I think that when they get to the stop motion stuff, like that's where the money is. That's where the love is. I mean, they did awesome stop motion work on both of these films. It's just a long walk around to get to it.
It really is.
Even the non-stop motion stuff, I thought most of it works.
Yeah, there's some fun stuff on Kong
during
Island.
This film.
Yeah, there's really fun stuff on Kong Island. It's just, you know, 25 minutes out of a 70-minute movie.
If I had seen the seals, then I would have felt differently. But
oh yeah,
but I didn't get to see the seals.
And the schlock for
and there the was there was up, yeah. intended to be in the end was intended to have a dinosaur stampede that was cut for time. If you had thrown that in there, obviously, I mean, it would have been. I still think the end scene is fantastic, but it would have been that much more spectacular.
Cut for time just raises all kinds of new questions.
Yeah. Well, cut what production time, I should say.
Oh, production time. Now,
yeah. Okay, now that makes good sense.
That does make more sense. Yeah. All right, our next category is called What the Fuck Moments.
I mean, there's a few interesting ones here. Like, I mean, Kong himself, Son of Kong himself, just by the sheer virtue of his facial expressions. I mean, impressive that they tried it, but the trying to add the really cute factor is kind of a what the fuck after seeing King Kong. And the like, so I'll give that. One of my favorites overall is the mutiny. Like, I get it, they've got to get to the island, but the fact that these guys, like, you know, Hellstrom that they bring on, like, I mean, the guys that they've hired, already not very trustworthy. But then Hellstrom comes on, and he like, oh, yeah, you know, you should mutiny. And afterwards...
If you guys thought about mutinying,
yeah.
You know, just saying.
Yeah. And then afterwards, I love it, because, like, they mutiny, and he's like, all right, well, as new captain, we should do this. And they're like, what do you mean, new captain? You're an idiot. You get off the boat. We're going with no captains here. It's just like, really? That's your plan? You're just gonna sail off with this boat?
You've launched a communist revolution on the boat is what you've actually done.
So that was one of those moments to me where it was just kind of like, yeah, that okay, that's stretching it out a little bit. The monkey act, fantastic as it was, lasted also about, what, 10, 12 minutes. So that seemed a little what the fucky. It's not a masterpiece of what the fucks. I'll give it a 6.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, there are a couple. The break Kong takes in the fight and almost loses because of it. The forgiveness of the mutiny, because Hellstrom was his name.
Yeah.
When they get the island, he just says, "Yeah, you know about that mutiny that I led back there? Sorry." And everyone's sort of like, bygones. You don't get a gun, though. Everyone else gets a gun. Well, the Chinese guy doesn't, but he thinks it's funny that I'm taking yours away.
He's got a cleaver.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Score-wise, I'm going to go with a 5. It's not high on the WTFs.
Yeah, I mean, we've already covered most of them. To me, the one thing is, and I know, and Willis O'Brien did, they only had time, obviously, with the production. I mean, one of the things that the reason why the story goes 40 minutes before they get to the island is because they only had 6 months to do the stop motion, you know, and that's not enough time to do what they did in King Kong. So they had to have a lot less. And then Willis O'Brien, and it was very sad stuff happened Cooper and Shotax got involved because they with the production more, whereas they kind of left him alone in King Kong, and he didn't like that, and he didn't finish it. Buzz Gibson had to finish a lot of the stop motion, so it wasn't actually Willis O'Brien. Plus, Willis O'Brien's wife killed his two sons and tried to commit suicide during the production of this. So, like, there's all this stuff that's like going on behind the scenes, and so they're forced to kind of cobble together what they can. So even any WTFs that are in there, I almost forgive, you know. It's not loaded with them. I do think the one thing that gets me is I don't know how this was in 1933 that Son of Kong appeared to know Brazilian jiu-jitsu when he's fighting the bear and the other dinosaurs. But other than that, it's just not high on it. So I'll give it a 4.
All right. Well, I think we've covered quite a lot of the weirdest stuff in this movie. But there's one really I want to talk about one really subtle thing that is at the absolute beginning of this movie. So Denham is being sued by literally everyone in the city. He is hiding out in his apartment because process servers are trying to get to him every time he pops his head out. He has to disguise himself to escape. Which is its own little weirdness that he's disguised himself with like a bucket over his head. that's its own little oddity.
I forgot that scene. Yeah. 5.
So all of that to like set the stage for how this movie is. But Denham still has a Kong poster up in his own bedroom. His own apartment. He has a giant Kong is Coming poster.
Continuity.
Having destroyed his life, he's like, you know what a good day that was? Dave, we made those posters. That was a good day.
he's still proud of the fact that he was going to change the world.
If this had worked out, it would have been great.
All right, I'm giving this a 6. It's got enough memorable moments.
There's not going to be a whole lot that I'm going to come out of this, and I mean I'll probably remember the Son of Kong a little bit from a facial perspective, features and stuff like that. But I'm not really going to come away from this in 5 years and be like, remember that moment in Son of Kong? I can reference that. Oh ho, no, it seems unlikely. Just going to go with a 3.
Yeah, I'm going with a 3 as well. Well, bear in a headlock and. The end with the Kong saving Denham at the last possible minute.
You know, I mean, it's got to follow King Kong, and it does it such a short period. And King Kong to this day holds up and is remarkably exciting and energetic. And when you're watching the fights with Son of Kong and the bear and the other dinosaurs, there's just a feeling like you've seen this all before. We've been there, done that. And like they're going on too long just to fill out time in the film. And so it's really that's the stuff that should be most memorable. That said, like I said, I think the sequence when the actual typhoon, as illogical as it starts, the stop motion effects there and all that stuff, I think that sequence is a crackerjack of a sequence. So I'm going to give it a 6.
Yeah, I think it is the ending that's the thing that will stick for me as well. It is a freaking bleak ending though. Let's leave him alone. Like we learned an important lesson part of this movie. The whole island is destroyed by the end. Like they're all, not only just Kong dies, but like this was the only place that dinosaurs still existed. I mean, what if you were told today that we found this island where dinosaurs still exist? It's amazing. Also, it was destroyed in an earthquake / typhoon later in the afternoon.
True. But, they didn't even get the treasure.
They do have that gem that gives them money, but
get part of
the gem. I mean, it's like it is at the end where they're sitting there and Denim, and they're talking about did Little Kong, I think, as they're calling him, know that he was sacrificing himself for me, and it was and they're trying to give it that heart, but that's another reason though, Jim, well, you should go and watch Mighty Joe Young, because they recognize that, because it's essentially the same story, but they fix that, not to give it any spoilers, but they fix that. They give you that more satisfying ending and the one that you're talking about. So
awesome. It is queued up. I'm giving a 5 for memorable moments. Final category, crazy concept.
For coming up with a movie really quickly afterwards, and I do, as I said before, I really do think it's smart the way that it builds out. It takes too long to build out, and it does certain things. I think I understand what they were trying to do. They just didn't quite execute on it. And so ultimately, I think if you're looking for more Kong right off the bat, it's just like, well, there's another Kong. He's smaller. I don't think it's all that crazy, though. So I think for me, I would probably just go with another 3.
I'm going to go with a 2, because I'm not sure there's a concept behind this movie. I'm pretty sure somebody just said, we made a lot of money with Kong. Do it again. You've got 6 months. Like,
that's fair. That is fair.
Pretty much exactly. Yeah. 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 RKO was in financial difficulty until Kong came out. And it made $675,000 budget, made $5.8 million, and was the first movie to ever be re-released as well. Like it saved the studio. So they were anxious to get something else out there.
Mm-hmm. So I was a 2. All
right. Okay. And that's the thing is it's not a heavy, like the original Kong really, if you think about it, is like a 10 or maybe at least a 9, like it's really high. And the idea of this production is what's crazy in concept, not the actual script itself after Kong. It's anything but. But the idea that they would do this and rush this in so quickly and force all this stuff is that part I'm going to go a little bit higher. So I'll give it a 4.
Yeah, I think I'm also going to go with a 4. And really my reasoning there is that I don't think I've ever encountered a sequel where they went in and said, okay, we made Kong and people love it. It opened earlier today. We have to get a sequel happening to have out by Christmas. Let's make Kong smaller. let's really bring down the scale of that.
Well, movie. The thing was that they did not expect, because Kong is really violent. And in fact, it was censored for years. The original Kong. So I mean, the kids loved it. So the concept was we can make even more money if we make a monkey like that that will appeal to the kids. That is more family friendly. And Ruth Rose News, she said, if you can't make it better, and we can't make it funnier. So
So 4 is what I went with there. This wraps up the scoring in our search for the ultimate B movie. Wait, looking at my earlier script. Every season we have 6 secret modifiers. This film has 3 of them, and this I think this is only the second time this has happened. It has all 3 positives.
Really? Wow.
Yes. Wow. So this film does come in under 80 minutes, giving it a plus. It is, we do have the same director and it's the same screenwriter as well, right?
Yeah.
Ruth Rose. So we've got the director and the writer. So we're calling that continuing vision. And Charlie the Cook is back. So we have a returning supporting cast from the first. And Denham was only supporting cast and is now the star. So also gets that modifier. So that gives it a plus 3, but that still only brings it to a grand total of 51 out of 100, which puts it well into the bottom half of films we've done so far.
Yeah. It's too bad. You know, it's one of those movies you cheer for in some ways. You wish it was better.
Well, it's fun.
But it's fun. It's not that it's not better. It's a fine movie to watch. It's just not that Boogaloo.
Maybe that's it. Yeah. That might be it. It's just, it's not really a Boogaloo movie. So for our scores, in some ways, if we're judging on other merits, perhaps it would do better. But I can't think of another movie to come out, a sequel to come out in the same year, unless it was that wasn't produced to be coming out in the same year already, you know, going in as filming 2 back to back, knowing they were doing it. Can you guys ever think of that?
Bride of Frankenstein.
It came out in the same year?
Yep, 1931.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, I did not know that. Interesting.
That one's superior to the original, so.
Ooh, that's arguable. But
well, that's a tough one. That's we need a different show for that.
And tell you the truth, Son of Frankenstein might actually be my favorite of the 3.
Quickly checking on IMDb, this is only the second movie I can find that used Son of in the name. And there aren't actually that many. Son of Dracula, Son of Frankenstein, Son of Mask. One of the Chucky movies was almost Son of Chucky. Son of Tarzan is the only movie from 1920. It's the only one I could find earlier than this that used that name and structure. It was fun. I'm glad I finally saw this. Glad I finally knew this existed, I guess. Even better.
That's right. Yeah, it's a fine little movie. Good little romp. Easy to watch. So
Bride of Frankenstein came out 4 years after. So you know,
roughly the same year.
The same year, except for not.
The same year.
1931 and 1935. I was kind of skeptical, so I had to look that up there. Because I was quite. Sure.
I wouldn't be surprised to see that there is a Universal Horror though that has that, like, you know, maybe the mummy movies or something.
Maybe it was Son of Frankenstein.
That's possible. And luckily we have this technology.
Stretch this out for another 10 or 15. So while we all research this.
Yeah.
Why don't you do the plugs here? I will.
All right.
Do whatever,
All right. As I mentioned, the Octagon can be found on WeTalkPodcasts.com. You can find us on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. And for Twitter and Facebook, check out our podcast sponsors, WeTalk Podcasts. And that'll keep you up to date on as things come out. And please subscribe on any place you find your podcasts, iTunes. We are posting the episodes on YouTube. They come up on YouTube a little after the audio podcast comes out, though.
Yeah, it's
1931, 1935, 1939, by the way, for the 3 Frankensteins. Anything else, Nick, you want me to correct you on?
It's great. this whole Universal Monsters thing.
I'm just actually blown away because I thought for sure.
These things happen.
This is just like that musical number in Son of Kong.
it would be better if it was with seals.
Yeah.
I definitely hope that at the end of the show, all the listeners were sitting there going, if I could just get the answer to that question.
If you know the answer to that question, please use the hashtag Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo on Instagram and let us know.
Okay, please, we are going to run longer than Son of Kong. So,
dangerously close.
Yes. All right, next episode, we are going to watch Flash Gordon 2. Flash Gordon meets the Cosmic Cheerleaders. So we are going to have some more flesh to add to our Son of Boogaloo.
And could we go more polar opposite in two films?
No, I don't think we could. It's the perfect intro. I got Whiplash. Among other things. But okay, I think it's time to wrap this sucker up. So for Jim, for Jack, and for Nick, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu. Thanks for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
La Belle Alain.
I'm just another trouble. You told me not to come on the boat.
Good night, kid.
Good night.
Ah, that's what everybody thinks who's never been there.
Skipper, believe it or not, there's a little Kong.
What?
A little girl?
How little?
Thank you.